Turn to John 16. I'm going to start a new series today on the Holy Spirit. And every year I like to, it seems like around the fall time, when I guess it's because you hear Halloween and all the ghosts and, well, I preach on the Holy Ghost. I guess that's why I want to preach on the Holy Ghost today. And I think it's good to just be reminded of the role of the Holy Spirit, the importance of the Holy Spirit, how important He is in our lives. And so this is just going to be a simple teaching that'll hopefully through the next few weeks that hopefully it'll stir you up and it'll make you fall in love with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to just think about these questions, and just as I ask you these questions, as you search your heart, is your spiritual life dry? Do you feel powerless? Maybe you've been living life, maybe you've been going through the motions, the same routines. There's no feeling. I'm just existing. I'm just coming to church. I'm just doing my thing. I'm a dry, barren life. Have you lost the desire to worship? Well, hopefully you got it back a little bit ago. But see, we're not just talking about a Sunday morning type worship. I'm not just talking about singing a song on Sunday morning. Have you lost the desire to worship? Is your life exhibiting worship to the Lord? Have you lost the desire, ultimately, which is our purpose, is to tell others about Jesus? Amen. To evangelize. We're Christians. We're Christians. We represent Christ. We're ambassadors of Christ. And we're not doing our Christian duty if we're not telling others about Christ. So have you lost the desire? Or maybe you've never had the desire to tell others about Christ. Have you lost the desire to be in God's Word, to study God's Word? Maybe you just open it up and it's just you don't get anything out of it. Well, if you've answered yes to any of these questions, that's why you need the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit needs to be active in your life. Maybe you are a person who knows and loves the Holy Spirit, but maybe you just need to get a little refilling of the Spirit. Be reacquainted with the Holy Spirit. And as Christians, it's so easy to forget about the vital role that the Holy Spirit plays in our life. So important. We forget about it so often. We're nothing. We're nothing of significance as born-again believers without the power of the Spirit operating in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit, right? Amen? John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus is referring here to the Holy Spirit. Now notice, first of all, that Jesus doesn't refer to the Spirit as an it, does he? He doesn't as an it, like a ghost of Halloween or a force, the Star Wars force. May the force be with you. He's not some gaseous thing that floats around. No, Jesus says, "I will send him to you." See, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's the person of the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of churches and a lot of denominations, and maybe you've come from a background where you don't reckon, maybe you didn't recognize the Holy Spirit, and it's some it. It's an it. It's like some some second-class citizen. But Jesus, all over 14, 15, 16, you can read it for yourself. It's always him. I will send him to you. So he's the person of the Holy Spirit. And here's what's most important. He's not only a person, but the Holy Spirit is the third and co-equal member of the Trinity. Amen. Co-equal member of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, like the old doxology hymn, praise Father, Son, and of course they say Holy Ghost because it was written a couple hundred years ago. But it's one in three, three in one. You don't call Jesus an it, do you? You don't call God the Father an it, do you? Well, we don't need to call the Holy Spirit an it. The Holy Spirit is a him. The Holy Spirit, number one in your notes, is God. Is God. He's God. God the Father, God the Son are not God without the Holy Spirit. They're three in one. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as the Father and the Son. Now, you can try to figure out the Trinity. You could three in one, one in three. You can try to figure it out. You're not going to figure it out. Our minds can't conceive it. But what we can understand is the part that God's allowed us to understand is God has allowed us to understand the roles of each member of the Godhead. Now, not fully, but at least the major roles of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, are identified in the Scriptures. And I think that to understand the role of the Spirit, I think we need to have a working knowledge of the role, the function of the Father and the Son. For example, and this might seem elementary to some of you, that's okay. That's okay. You can still be reminded. But let's take God the Father. Let's go through the function of the Father and the Son, and then we'll get to the Spirit. God the Father. He's the primary figure in the Old Testament. God the Father, sovereign creator, sovereign ruler. He created man. Man sinned. Fast forward to the law. God gives the law to Moses. This almighty God gives the law. You messed up. Okay, here's a way you can get back into graces with me. Do this law. He gives the law. Man still messes up because man cannot live by all 613 commandments of the law. So God gives he puts a sacrificial system in place. Well, they can't abide by the law. We'll put a sacrificial system in place. So he uses substitutes in the goats, the bulls, the lambs. And he tells the people, okay, you've messed up. Well, you can come before me once a year. You can go to the high priest. You can bring the goats, the bulls, the lambs, whatever. Even birds, doves, bring them in. The high priest will offer them on your behalf. He'll take the blood. He'll sprinkle the blood. And when I see that blood that is shed, that blood, the life is in the blood. So that's the whole purpose of the blood being shed. I'm going to renew you with life when I see the life of the blood. And I'll atone for your sins until next year. The sacrificial system. This is the role. Now God's got all kinds of roles, but I'm just keeping the central theme of the Bible. The role of God and the central theme of the Bible. So they offer their sacrifices every year. The problem is it was a continual sacrifice. There was always this perpetual guilt and condemnation. Because the blood, yeah, might have put them in right standing with God, but it didn't change their life. It didn't change the way they lived. So God the Father, He sets this sacrificial system in place, but mankind messes it up. Can't do it. Can't live up to it. The good news is he all along had another system in place, another plan in place, another sacrificial plan. That plan was to send himself as God the Son, who would be born of a virgin, who would be born of woman. So God the Father sent God the Son. I can't explain it, but God sent God. That's basically it. And Jesus came. What was the role of Jesus? Was the role of Jesus just to do miracles? Was the role of Jesus just to turn the water into wine and to heal the sick? Was the role of Jesus just to preach, just to teach? No, the primary role of Jesus, although he did those things, was to be the ultimate sacrifice. That was his role. To pay the for, to forever pay the penalty of sin. For by one offering, as Hebrews said, he's perfected forever those who are saved, those who are being sanctified. So Jesus goes to the cross. He gives his life. He raises himself from the grave. And all of those, not just the Jewish people, but all those who put their trust in Jesus as this sacrificial offering would have everlasting life. So here's God the Father. He puts the plan. He puts the law in place. We can't do it. Man can't do it. The role of the Son was to come to be the sacrifice. Okay. So now we have salvation. We have eternal life. But what now? What now? We've got heaven as our home. We've got security in Jesus. But what about now? What about today? What about tomorrow? What about all those that Jesus talked about? The Sermon on the Mount. Do this. Do that. Be a witness, blah, 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 just on and on. What about? What about it? What about when I'm tempted to sin? What about when I make mistakes? Now that I've got salvation, how do I live out my salvation? Is this where I gotta the buckle up my bootstraps, pull them up, dig in? Willpower comes into play? Is this where I work harder and try harder and just do my best? No. This is where the role of the Spirit comes into play. And in John chapter, 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. And in this scripture we just read, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." See, up until this point, Jesus was their helper, right? Jesus was their teacher. Jesus is the one who taught them and guided them on how to live. But now he's speaking of a new helper. He's basically about to say, "Hey, I'm about to do what I was sent here to do. Pay the price. Raise from the grave. Give you everlasting life." But he said, after I do what I'm supposed to do, it's time for me to head on back. But I'm going to send you someone else. In John 14, verse 16, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans." And then he says, "I will come to you." So now the picture's becoming clearer. The Son was sent to bring salvation. Now the Spirit, after the Son descends, the Spirit would be sent to empower them and help them live out their salvation. In other words, the Son was given for us, the Spirit was given to us. And although the disciples couldn't comprehend it at that time, and I want you to think about this because this is truth. This is what Jesus is saying. Although they didn't understand it at that time, it was better for them to have the Holy Spirit in them than it was to have Jesus with them. That leads to point number two. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our helper. Jesus was their helper. But remember, Jesus was, he was God made man. He could only be in one place at one time, right? But he said, "I'm going to send you another helper who's going to take my place, who's going to be my representative on earth. And it's actually going to be better. It's going to be of a better benefit to have him come than it is to have, I'm going to be doing what I'm done. It's time for me to go back." The word helper that Jesus uses here is the Greek word parakletos. P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S, parakletos, and it means advocate. One called alongside for support. I like that. The Holy Spirit is the one that's called alongside for support. Counselor, encourager, mediator. These are all words under this word parakletos. Remember, Jesus said, I will not leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. How is he going to come to you? Through the person of his Spirit. My Spirit is going to come to you. He's going to be your helper. He's basically going to send himself in omnipresent form. He's going to send the Spirit that can be literally everywhere at one time. He's going to be my representative. He's going to be your helper from this point on. He's going to come alongside of you. He's going to help you. He's going to be the teacher. He's going to be your support. He's going to give you everything you need to live out your salvation. He's just not going to be in one place at one time. He's going to be in you and you and you and you and you and all the hundreds of millions of other people who's going to, the Holy Spirit. That's our helper I'm preaching about. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus sent us a helper? He didn't just go away and abandon us. Unfortunately, it seems like that's what a lot of teaching is about. It's like Jesus went away. Now we just got to figure out how to make it happen. We got to figure out how to do this and do that. But I'm going to send you a helper. I mean, think about that. He literally has sent himself inside of every single one of you. And that's mind blowing. But that's the helper. That's the parakletos. That's the access that we have to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. You know, in Sunday school, when they say, ask Jesus to come into your heart, this is what we're talking about. Maybe that's what, instead of saying, ask Jesus to come into your heart, you need to ask Jesus to save you and ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart, because that's what it is. It's the Holy Spirit that's coming inside you. The Holy Spirit is God. Yet the Holy Spirit is our helper. Do you know that you can't know the Father without the Holy Spirit? You cannot know the Son without the Holy Spirit. You can't fully understand and get the revelation of the gospel of Jesus without the Holy Spirit. As you were singing and worshiping and tears were streaming, that wasn't just emotions. That was because the Spirit of God was drawing you to the Lord and you just sensed the love of the Lord. See that won't happen without the Holy Spirit. The Christian life cannot be void of the Holy Spirit. You cannot get into God's Word and truly have the Word speak to you without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, to understand what Jesus meant, that when he says, it's better that I leave. Because I think this is what we have to get our minds around. Because it's almost nearly too good to be true. When you say things like, it's better that the Spirit is here than Jesus is here, people are like, oh my goodness. No, that's blasphemy. Well, no, I'm just saying what Jesus said. To understand what he meant, I think the perfect example to look to is the life of Peter. If you remember the life of Peter in the Gospels, Peter was the one he seemed to always put his foot in his mouth. He was always, I guess I can relate to Peter, because a lot of times I speak before I think. And it's like, oh, why did you just say that? Oh my God. See, that was Peter. Peter was... If you remember the scenes where him and John, they were like, they were bragging about who's Jesus' best friend? Who's the one that's going to be sitting beside Jesus? So he bragged. He was boasting. And then he was like, Jesus, I'll follow you to death. I will go anywhere you go. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to lay it all down. And the night that they arrested him, he ran. Along with the other disciples. Jesus, I'll never. But you know, Jesus even said, you're going to deny me three times. He's like, no, no. And he did deny him three times, didn't he? The third time, he not only denied him and said, I don't know Jesus, but he cursed that little girl out, and the rooster crowed. And Peter knew what he had done. Now you think about that, because wasn't Jesus with Peter? Didn't Peter have Jesus as his teacher? How many of you have ever had Jesus as your teacher? Forget, not the Holy Spirit. No, we got the Holy Spirit, but I'm just saying literal. Peter had Jesus as his teacher. Who do you think the greatest role model in history is? Jesus. That was Peter's role model, wasn't it? That was, the guide, all the miracles, he had all of that, but yet Peter still denied Jesus. Jesus said, it's going to be better that I go away and the Holy Spirit comes in you than me just being alongside of you. Yes, Jesus can save a soul, but Jesus can't jump into a heart and change the heart and lead inwardly and be, that's the role of the Spirit. But what happened in Acts chapter 2? When the disciples and the 120 were praying in the upper room, when they were all in one accord on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound as a mighty rushing wind, and the Spirit descended, and tongues of fire rest upon them. They were all filled with the Spirit, began speaking in other tongues. And everybody, I don't understand this scene either, but it said all the nations of the world were represented outside that upper room. I guess they heard all the different languages, and everybody heard the gospel in their language, and they're gathered thousands upon thousands of people and Peter. Now that's a tongue twister right there. People. How many people did people? So Peter gets out and he preaches. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit has filled him and empowered him, and he preaches, 3,000 people are saved. Now backtrack to when Jesus was around. He denied. He was a braggart. He was a liar. But now that the Holy Spirit has come, he's endued with power. He's living out what Jesus said would happen when my Spirit comes and the church is birthed. Because having the presence of his Spirit in us is better than having Jesus with us. It's to your advantage that I go away. Jesus even said in John 14, he who believes in me, verse 12, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these, because I'm going to my Father, meaning the Holy Spirit's going to come and fill you, and instead of me just doing the work, you're going to have hundreds of millions of other people doing the work. That's the greater. It's the multiplication of the works. It's greater in volume, the work all around the world. All around the world. The Spirit of God is going to fill his believers. And I guess what I'm getting to as I'm just summarizing this is that the same Spirit that empowered Peter and the disciples, the same Spirit that Jesus sent to them is still available to us. Our Paracletos, Helper, Advocate, one who would come alongside to assist, to help us. Every one of us have probably said something like this, that what would it be like if Jesus were here? I'd love to have you come and preach. What would it be like to have Jesus come and be in our presence and be in our midst? Oh, it'd be so to see the miracles. Oh, it'd be nice to have Jesus come to our church. It'd be nice to have Jesus show up on planet Earth. Yeah, we've all said that, and it would be nice. But think about it, though. In today's age, the age of technology, the age of plane travel, If Jesus did come, you'd have to stand in line with the other billion people, wouldn't you? You'd have to get in line. You'd probably spend your whole entire life waiting in line, maybe never getting to Jesus. You'd have to get a plane, catch a plane, because he'd be in Jerusalem somewhere probably. You'd have to spend all that money. You'd probably be, by the time you're waiting and waiting and waiting, and then you're getting frustrated with Jesus because you're having to wait for him. When's he going to get to me? Well, you've got hundreds of billions of tons of other people in front of you. But see, with the Holy Spirit, you don't have to move an inch. You don't have to get on a plane because you've got the Spirit of Jesus in you. All you've got to do is just call out to him. He can answer you simultaneously as he can answer you simultaneously with you. That's the Holy Spirit that we have. Because it's better to have the Spirit in us than Jesus with us. Jesus did his work. For by one offering, he's forever sanctified. He's forever fulfilled his duty. He's done. The Bible said he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's done his job. Now we have the Holy Spirit to help us do our job. He's our helper. He's our teacher. John 14, verse 26. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Bible. Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. He will cause you to recall. He will remind you of. He will bring to your remembrance everything that I have told you." And maybe you're here today. Maybe you're watching online and you're thinking, wow, I love the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. But maybe you're listening and you would say, I just don't have the power of the Spirit like this. I just don't sense the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't sense his counsel. Ray, what you're saying is, I'd love this. I believe this, but I don't know how. How do I get the Spirit as my helper and the teacher? Well, that leads to my last point. The last point is this. Understand that the Holy Spirit is a gift. It's a gift. You can't earn the Holy Spirit. Good works don't manifest the presence of the Spirit. Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You need to understand he's a gift. Just like salvation is a gift by grace through faith, the same is with the Holy Spirit. If you know how to give good gifts, how much more the Holy Spirit gives the gift of the Spirit to those who ask? See, first of all, you need to understand this. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, when you say yes to Jesus, when you ask the Lord to save you, when you ask Jesus, like I mentioned earlier, to come into your life, the Holy Spirit is imparted into you. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians that's the seal, S-E-A-L, the stamp of the Holy Spirit. It's the title deed, a confirmation. The Spirit is a confirmation that we have everlasting life. But here's the point. Here's the whole point, because you can have the seal of the Holy Spirit and you can have the Holy Spirit in you because you've received Jesus, but yet at the same time not be filled with the Spirit of God. You can have him in you to assure you that heaven is your home, but at the same time you're not walking in the anointing. You're not walking in the power. You're not walking under the guidance, the leadership, the counsel, the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Case in point, Peter, right? He was a Christian when he denied Jesus, wasn't he? He believed in Jesus. He acknowledged Jesus as Lord. But just because he was a Christian didn't mean he had the power. So how do we get the power? How do we get the Spirit that is in us to start working with us and empowering us and guiding us and teaching us and leading us? How do we become filled and empowered with the Spirit of God? It's really easy. It's so easy. Remember, he says the Spirit is a gift. Number one is a gift. I think the first thing we need to start doing is we need to start welcoming, cherishing, loving, acknowledging that the Spirit is in us and wants to work and wants to help. I heard somebody say that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to invade your space. He wants to be welcome. He wants to be loved. He's a gift. A precious gift is meant to be cherished, to be loved. I think too often we just disregard we just dismiss the Holy Spirit. We forget he's there. We wonder why there's no power in our lives. We wonder why we're just can't get it together. We've dismissed the role of the Holy Spirit. We haven't welcomed the Holy Spirit. And notice Jesus, he also said to those who ask. He's not going to give you something that you don't ask for. We love him, we cherish him, we welcome him. Now we ask him to fill us, to empower us, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us. Yes, we pray to the Father. We know that we pray to the Father, but the Holy Spirit, we can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Remember, you can't know the Father without the Holy Spirit. You can't know the Son without the... You know when I'm doing my studies, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me in my Bible study. Help me, Holy Spirit. I ask the Holy Spirit, help me to pray to the Father. I preached a few weeks back on the prayer of the Spirit of God. He's my helper. Help me, Holy Spirit, as I prepare. Help me, Holy Spirit, as I teach, as I preach. He must be asked. The great Charles Spurgeon, 19th century prince of preachers, he said this concerning the Spirit. He said, if the Holy Spirit be indeed so mighty, let us do nothing without him. Let us begin no project and carry on no enterprise and conclude no transaction without imploring his blessing. And I close by saying this. You were never intended to live your life alone, to live your life without the help of the Lord. You were never meant to live out your own salvation. You were never meant to try to muster self-will up, because you've been given the Holy Spirit. Now, what you do with the Holy Spirit is up to you. If you seek to be filled, if you seek to be empowered, that's why the Apostle Paul said also in Ephesians, he says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The analogy is in the same way that alcohol consumes you and takes over. Let that go to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit consume you and take over. But you can't have unless you ask. And I hope through the next few weeks that you fall in love with the Holy Spirit and recognize that you need the Spirit of God in your life. He's with you. He will come alongside you. He will help you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will help walk you through those questions that you have. So he'll help you, but you just call out to him. He's your paracletos. He's your helper. He will fill you. He will empower you. He will turn the barren desert into lush, fertile soil. What he'll do for you. So bow your heads if you would. In regards to the Holy Spirit, first of all, the first step is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because When you accept Jesus as Lord, ask Him to save you. That's when the Spirit comes to live within you. And maybe you're here, maybe you're listening, and you've never asked the Lord to save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter. Your past is the past. Nobody has out-sinned God. Whosoever shall call. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in the heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Right where you're seated listening, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Just pray and say, God, I believe You died on the cross for me. I believe You shed Your blood for me. I make You the Lord of my life. I want to follow You and live for You and honor You. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you convict hearts. We can't sense the conviction. We can't sense the conviction without the Holy Spirit. And so now, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that we would be a church that would be in pursuit of the presence of the Spirit of God. We would be filled with the Spirit, that we would call out to the Spirit of God to help us. We thank You for the gift that we have of the Holy Spirit of God. Help us to respond to You now.